Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the love journey. They call it a prayer line, but I call it an experience. I am Janine Ann Ingram. Yes, your transformational life coach. And we're going to get started today with a beautiful song by Music Love.
I'm afraid I don't know how, 'cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. 'Cause love, so many people use your name in vain. Love, those who have faith in you sometimes go astray. Love, through all the ups and downs, the joys and hurts. To know you, longing for your kiss, for your kiss, touch, for your feel, for your presence. Many nights I cried from the things you do, felt like I could die from the thought of losing you. I know that you're real, with no doubts and no fears and no questions.
Wow, good morning, good morning, good morning. You tuned in to the Love Journey, Inc. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio, teleconference side. Good morning, good morning, Love Journey. This is Janine and Ingram, your transformational life coach. We're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. On this line, we recognize the divine creator, the divine source, as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So I want you to take in a deep breath. Be still and know that I am God. As you take in a deep breath through your nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight. Release through your mouth and remember to breathe into your heart, family. Let's breathe. Be still and know that I am God. And release. Let's breathe again, family. And release. And last time. And release. Divine Mother, Father, God. Precious, precious, precious Holy Spirit. As I speak from the transforming power, the I Am presence, I give thanks right now, Holy Spirit, for this opportunity to come together in one name, one presence, and one love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If it wasn't if I had a million tongues, thank you, still wouldn't be enough, God. I just give thanks for your anointing, Holy Spirit. I just give thanks for your favor, God. Oh, somebody is called your favorite tonight. We give thanks, Holy Spirit. This morning for this opportunity to unfold the gift of this day, we give thanks, God. Just thanks. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Mother God. I thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice today, God. I give thanks for every molecule, every muscle fiber in their body, God. Oh, come Holy Spirit this morning and bring forth a fresh anointing upon this call. I give thanks for the Love Journey, God. I give thanks for the opportunity to expand and grow, Holy Spirit. I give thanks, God, for the love that you rain down upon us, God. Each and every day, I give thanks, and so it is, and so it is. Amen. And as we continue to recognize that we're here, right here on the Love Journey, we're going to get ready and do our gratitude meditation. You know, because gratitude is such a powerful place to be in. So I just want you to continue to send it to your mind. And as you center in your mind, give thanks for who you are.
Gratitude Meditation. This guided meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of gratitude within your mind and body. Gratitude is the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. It is an expression of deep appreciation within yourself that is extended outward. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. As you take a long, deep inhale, focus your attention and your energy right in the center of your chest, the center of love within your being. And breathe into the center of your chest, holding the thought form, I am so grateful. And exhale that breath. Again, breathing directly into the center of your chest, I am so grateful. And allow that breath to be released. And see, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that someone you love unconditionally and someone you know loves you unconditionally is standing right before them. See them with your mind's eye. If you can't see them, feel their presence. And if you can't feel their presence, just imagine that they're there, or set an intention that this person that I love unconditionally, who loves me unconditionally, is standing right before me, eye to eye, heart to heart, soul to soul. And as if you could speak directly into their heart and into their being, simply say, thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to love you. I'm so grateful. And take a long, deep inhale. And exhale. And allow the feeling, the experience, the expression of gratitude to fill your being from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Allow it to radiate and vibrate within you as you hold a thought form. I am so grateful, grateful, grateful I am grateful for this moment, this life, this time, this experience, just breathing gratitude, long, deep inhale, I am so grateful, slow, complete exhale, grateful, I am. Again, a long, deep inhale, I am so grateful. And a slow, complete exhale, grateful I am. And breathe and experience the radiance of gratitude. And bring your awareness to the gentle ebb and flow of your breath. And together we take a long, deep inhale in and drop it with the sound of again, a long, deep inhale and drop it. And wiggle your toes and your fingers, and give your body a big stretch, allowing the energy to be balanced and reintegrated at all levels of your being. And whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes and focus on something in the room as you take a long, deep inhale and drop it. And allow yourself to just bask in the radiance of gratitude. And as you move into your day, be sure to do something good for you. and be blessed.
Wow. You're tuned in to the Love Journey. Love Journey Prayer Line, they call it. Well, I call it an experience. Welcome, Blog Talk family. Welcome, Telecrafters Line. Good morning, good morning. I am Janine Ann Ingram, your transformational life coach. That was Ayanna Vincent, putting us in the mood of gratitude. There's no higher form of praise than thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. We're going to keep this love experience moving. Calling in Zakiya to sing our love song.
Peace, peace, and love, love to you, Lady Love. Good morning.
God bless and morning to you.
Blessed morning to you, Queen. Oh, my gosh, it was so beautiful hanging out with you yesterday. Oh, I just want to say good morning to you, love, and good morning to you, family. Good morning to the Love Journey family, to our Blog Talk family, and we certainly do welcome our new callers. I am just still in heaven because I got my arms around beautiful Lady Love yesterday evening while she is here on the East Coast. And East Coast showed up and showed out to welcome her here. So we are so blessed and grateful. All right, so we are moving into our next love experience where we're going to sing our love song. I love myself so much. So I can love you so much, so you can love me so much, so you can keep on loving me. All right, family, let's do it. Unmute your phones, star 6, and let's do it on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. I love myself so much, so I can love you so much. And you can love me so much, so you can keep on loving me. Oh yes, I love myself so much, so I can love you so much.
I do.
And you can love me so much, so you can keep on loving me.
I love myself. So much.
Thank you for loving yourself so much. So that you can just love everybody so much. So we can just keep this love growing and flowing. Because you know what? It is all about love, family. I love you all so much. I'm sending it back to you, Lady Love.
Yes. Good morning, family. Yes, you're tuned in to the Love Journey, Inc. They call it a prayer line. I call it an experience. I am Janine Ann Ingram, your daily lover, your transformational life coach, author, vision board facilitator, radio host, girl. I can go on. But guess what? We got a powerful guest speaker today. When I tell you she's powerful, she is amazing because she is about literacy. Yes, bringing literacy back into our community. It's so important that we teach our children to read, but not only to read, but also to find books for our little girls and boys that look like them. And she's promoting those kind of books as well, you know, to remind us to get books. She's also promoting the idea that I absolutely love, their mailbox libraries, where you put books in them and exchange books. But I'm a big book fan. And I just love the idea of this whole literacy piece. And I love how she just shows up on the planet, confident, full of love, thinking about how to serve the community, an activist, an author, a mother, one of the most precious gifts God sent to the planet to remind us, should we be beating black kids? Well, you know, that's a controversial conversation, but I absolutely have to say she gives you thought-provoking ideas about how to your parenting energy. I think it's powerful. I'm introducing her to some, presenting her to others. Miss Asabi Kirkland, I want you all to put your hands together for this amazing gift that God's put to the planet. Oh, good morning, Asada Star 6. And I love her name, Asada. Good morning.
Hello, how are you this morning?
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Love Journey. Yes, and I just want you to know I honor the work you do for the community, but mostly for the youth and bringing literacy back to our community.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, it's been a minute since I've been on the call, and it's like, ooh, it's good to see all these spirits are up with me. You know, I take pictures of the sunrise every morning, so I'm up there when it's coming off the horizon. And I always wonder, like, who's up with me? Who's witnessing this? Who's, you know, so it's good to feel the love journey and to see how many other souls are up and ready to roll and communicate. So it's good to be on. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. So, aside for those who, because we're, I don't think you've been on since we are connected with Blog Talk Radio, so we have a whole big new audience as well. So some people may not know who you are, and we're, you know, placed all around the world strategically. So I want people to know who you are. Who is Asada Kirkland?
Hey, so in a nutshell, because I like to talk about the cause more than I talk about myself, but I'm an author of the book Beating Black, which is a book about not beating our children to discipline them or to rear them, because, you know, we can't be spiritual for ourselves and then go home and yell and hit our children. Doesn't work like that. You know, we need to pass on this this energy that we're creating to improve ourselves needs to resonate so that our children emulate it going forward. But if we're yelling at them and hitting them, that won't happen. So I'm the author of the book Beating Black Kids, and that was the reason I was on the Love Journey call when I first came on with you all. And now been living in Chicago for almost 2 years or maybe 2 years. And wanted to bring something else to the environment. I mean, being an author of one book is okay, it's good. But what, you know, I guess in my spirit I wanted to know, I wanted to feel something I can do for more than just myself or more than just the book. I know the book services others, but what has come up out my brain and out my mind and into the world now is the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. And what that is a collection of 100 black authors in every genre that will be here in Chicago July 16th. And it's giving an opportunity for our people to say what we have to say. It's like, you know, I looked around at one of the other book fairs here in Chicago, and I said, I know it's like 90-something black authors in Chicago, but why do I only see 10 of them here? So I'm not going to go ask anybody to go try and create that. I said, we need to create that for ourselves. So I'm calling this the Gathering of the Griots, because the stories are told and we're going to tell them on our own accord without other people's permission and bring that energy to Chicago so that we can make literacy and the literary arts, we need to make that chic again. You know, it was Once Upon a Time. You know, it was Gwendolyn Brooks and it was Lorraine Hansberry and, you know, Langston Hughes and all of these great folks. Well, we have those people in our day today, and my goal is to just breathe life, just breathe literary life into our community, because, you know, we see a lot of destruction that people like to promote, but the opposite of destruction is creation. And so my goal is to create, help to continue to create something that doesn't exist in our community. And that is, in fact, what will counterbalance the destruction that we've been experiencing. So, founder of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, author of Beating Black Kids, sister on the move, with the movement, just rocking and rolling in the trenches. The accent's from New York, but I do live in Chicago. Yeah, let them know that.
Wow. And where's your Soulful Book Fair is going to be held?
Oh, yeah, the Soulful Chicago Book Fair will be right here in Chicago on 61st Street between Cottage and King. Yeah, we blocking off the street, and every block will be a different genre. So we're talking about one block will be fiction authors, one block will be nonfiction authors, one block will be children's authors. And, yeah, just that's in the hood. That's like if you don't know anything about Chicago, Hyde Park is kind of like where your University of Chicago, kind of what's perceived as the reading community is. But I'm like, yo, there's a bunch of us past Hyde Park that read, like, really? So this book fair is south of that neighborhood, and it's in the hood. It's in the Woodlawn community here in Chicago. And from what I hear, the neighborhood hasn't seen anything like this brought to this community at this magnitude. So this is important. This is just all about how we take our thoughts and put them into words, you know, and looking at them, connecting to the call, you know, and scripture says, you know, talks about the power of the word, you know, and I need us to focus on that more and to look at how we can convey positive messages through the word, because the words that we speak now, I'm not even talking about rap and all that. We like to talk about how bad those words are, but I'm talking about just telling your child, you know, be quiet, get out of here, leave me alone. Those are words that end them. And so when they get hit by a drive-by shooting or they die by some, what we say, senseless violence, we need to think about the words we're using to our children and in our community to each other, and get a sense of why we see so much life ending, because we're ending them with our words. So this is a way for us to take our words and put them into a different light. Listen to how we're transforming our words into stories that we can learn from. Nonfiction experiences, there'll be awesome biographies. There's one sister whose father is the oldest living NFL alumnus in the nation. He's here in Chicago. He's 91 years old, and she wrote a book about her father's life, and we'll be honoring him at the book fair, sharing her book about his life. And several elders here in Chicago who got word that this brother, Sherman J. Howard, was here in Chicago and still living, they said he's a legend. They're actually coming together for a ceremony for her and him two nights before the event to honor him as a living legend in the NFL. And it's just stuff like that. So these are the types of things that we have to do to celebrate who we are and where we're going.
You know, you wrote a book about beating black kids, but how important do you think is it to read to black kids, on their, you know, to read to them and share books with them?
You know, what books do is they help us live vicariously through the characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, when you talk about reading, that's really, to me, part of what the beauty is. It's like, you live in one situation, in one condition, but a book will allow you to actually experience someone else's life and condition and experience. And so reading for our kids, to me, it helps to broaden their horizon about what the world has to offer or what they can do in the world. So I think reading to them is one thing in that regard. But then the other thing is, there's a study, and you can Google this, and I'll see if I can find the right numbers, but there's a study about how much vocabulary children learn based on their socioeconomic background. And it talks about, like, how much our children learn vocabulary per day or per hour or something like that. And it's really kind of problematic when you look at the numbers of that study, because it says something like if you live in a low economic family, the numbers, like, they learn 600 words a day. But when you get to the higher levels of economic strata, they're learning 2,000 plus words a day or an hour or something of that nature. And it's like such a big distance
disparity,
in terms of what we're learning. Yeah, disparity. So that is one of the reasons why, you know, reading to our children is important. But even more important, in our community, there's actually a lot of us who cannot read, you know, and I'm not talking about just children. I'm talking about adults, too, who have an issue and a problem with reading and grammar. And so this book fair is really about that, too. We just had a literacy coalition. It's called the Chicago Citywide Literacy Coalition. Made sure they secured their space in the book fair yesterday. And that is excellent because people will be able to go to them and sign up to get trained in literacy and to sign up for, you know, becoming better readers. So I think that's another reason why we may not see it as much in our community, but I think we're intimidated by reading, some of us. Everybody is not on the same level. So this book fair is to breathe life into that as well, get us into really wanting to, man, if you can't read, what can you do in this society? You know, you miss out on a lot, and then it's a lot you have to say, but then you can't articulate it in words. So the book fair is there to really handle all of that. And our children, you know, of course it'll start with enhancing their exposure to this craft as well.
I know what you're saying is true, because I was reading a study where even not, you know, I know you're talking about adults, but a lot of our children are actually coming out of school not being able to really read as well. How are you going to speak to that at the Soulful Book Fair?
You know, we have a, it's so funny because one of the schools, one of the goals that I have is to have a Woodlawn School Pavilion where we have schools there and available to let the community know about them. One school that's going to be there is over here, Donahue Elementary School on 37th and Cottage Grove. They were like, can we bring books to give away? I was like, most definitely, because they were like, we don't want to compete with the authors. I said, no, it's not really about, it ain't about that at all. I said, because we have some people in the community who may not be able to afford the books of the different authors there, and there needs to be an outlet for them to get books. And so I told them, bring the books that you want to donate. That is totally fine. And as you were mentioning earlier, we actually, there's something called Little Free Libraries. And Little Free Libraries look like birdhouses, but they're bigger. And they're bigger because when you open them, they have books in them. So my goal is to have at least two or three of those installed along the corridor of the book fair, where, and this is before the book fair, so that people can open them. And guess what? They can just go in and take a book and keep on going. Or they can walk by and put a book in there and keep on going. So this is an opportunity for us to have institutions of just literacy even at our footsteps as we walk by, open the free library and see what book is inside and take it out and keep on moving. So it's to create a culture around our children where, you know, reading is something that you just do. You just keep inviting those ideas into yourselves. And the reason I want to help change it too, you know, it's unfortunate, but most of our brothers and sisters get real literate when they get incarcerated. It's like they're incarcerated and they don't have nothing but time, so they get into reading books. And we don't want our people to have to be incarcerated to start to value books. We need our people valuing reading and literacy and these stories, and maybe even recording their own stories before any of that occurs, and it actually is a deterrent from it occurring. The book fair so far, I think we have three or four youth authors. One of them is my daughter. She's 12. She has a book called Urban Girl Adventures. She's a published photographer, and her book will be present. And there's another sister who's 13 who wrote a book called Reptiles versus Amphibians, and it's a science fiction book. It just made the Amazon bestseller list about 2 weeks ago. There's a 19-year-old who, before the book fair, she didn't have a book. Because of the book fair, her and her mother worked together so that now she is a published author and she will be debuting her poetry book at the book fair, and it's called Astral Projection Illicit Affection. And so it's like the event was a goal or was a reason why she wrote her book. So we can inspire our youth like that. Look at these young authors. Before they even become adults, they're published and can go on and continue to tell their stories and be inspirations for other young people who have stories to tell. So I think it's a, just a powerful, powerful move on a lot of levels. And just before, I don't want this to escape my memory, in terms of youth and involvement in the book fair, we even created something called the Timuel D. Black. Timuel D. Black is a historian here in Chicago. He's 97 years old. He lived right here in Chicago. He's on his third book. And we have a Timuel D. Black essay contest where young people who live in Chicago have to, they interview their oldest living relatives, and then they write an essay documenting Chicago history and the role that their families played in that history. And that's important. This is the centennial year of the Black migration to Chicago. So in honor of the 100 years since we came in mass to Chicago, we have that essay contest to get our young people involved as well, and they'll win cash prizes for their entry. So we, this is all about activity in the literary world and making it interesting and fun to read again so that this is not a stigma in our community and not something that we find hard to do. It's just something that we do on a normal basis.
So if people wanted to contact you or get your book, how can they do that?
Oh, so there's a couple of things. There's two ways to contact us. Listeners, you all, I mean, there's my book, which is helping you deal with our children and learn how to curb your behavior so that you can behave well with our children. And the website for that is beatingblackkids.com. And more importantly for me right now, so for, it's so funny because the book fair makes me feel so wonderfully selfless. Like I said, focusing on yourself is utmost importance, but I love myself too. Like that song said, ooh-wee, I love myself to the hill. But it feels dynamic working for other people and promoting these other brothers and sisters and their books. So I don't even promote mine as much as I did. But for the book fair, there may be writers on this phone, on this call, on this radio show might be listening, and you just have to go to soulfulchicagobookfair.com, and that's soulful, like your soul is full, S-O-U-L-F-U-L, soulfulchicagobookfair.com. And you'll see author submission in a place where you can just submit your synopsis of your book and get in on the good fun and come on into this event so that you can be a part of the storytelling as well. So those are the two main ways, soulfulchicagobookfair.com or from my book, beatingblackkids.com.
Yes, I love the whole premise behind rethinking about how we interact with our children in forms of discipline. And I tell you, I know that I don't regret anything that happened, but there's some things after reading your book, I said, oh, I could have did that differently in my raising of my children. You know what I'm saying? So I think having that book out as a manual and a guide to think about how you want to parent is a powerful book and a powerful message. Because when we perpetuate abuse like the kind of whooping our children, what happens is we teach our children to deal with anger and process things through fighting and hitting.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think, you know, one of the things, it's like we get very upset about gang violence, and we get very upset about kids today, they just want to fight. But we really got to ask ourselves where we think they got that from. Because when you hit your children, and people say, well, you're just supposed to do it when they're young, not when they're older. That's the worst time, because that's when they're taking in how they're supposed to operate in the world. And so when you're hitting and yelling at them, what you're showing them is that when something displeases you or when people disagree with you, then you hit or you yell. You that's how we're teaching our children how to, quote-unquote, handle conflict, and they think it's through violence. They have no negotiation skills, so that's not what we're teaching. We're not negotiating with them because we're busy talking about children should be seen and not heard and not negotiating with them, not giving them the power to negotiate their ideas or express themselves, whether we like it or not. They're just little beings, and they're just like real full spiritual beings in human bodies, little bodies that a lot of times can't fully express what they want, but they can express themselves nonetheless. And so when you work with your young person and you talk to them and you negotiate with them and you listen to their ideas, you're not going to have a child that runs around acting wild. Some people try to say, well, every child is different. yeah, every adult is different too. They're teaching them. You know, people say to me, oh, well, your daughter, you got lucky. Your daughter's this way. No, I ain't getting lucky. She's raised this way. Like, she's raised to have value. She has self-worth. When you're yelling at people and making them feel bad and hitting them, you're actually damaging their self-worth. You're making them feel less than. You're making them feel powerless. And so instead of them feeling good and feeling like you're raising them to be an authority over things, they're actually being raised to just take authority. And that's what you see in our community. You see a lot of people who can take authority or don't like taking authority, but they don't know how to be an authority over anything. And so they stand on the corner, you know, and just live life in a mediocre way. And so this is really about rearing young people into beings that can run the world effectively. Our community, you know, when you hit a child or you yell at a child before they're 4 years old, there's a part of the brain that actually gets affected. It's called the regulatory part of the brain. And it helps one regulate in times of adversity, so making good decisions in times of adversity. So if a child is experiencing the level of stress that we consider toxic stress in this world, before they're 4 years old, the regulatory part of the brain does not develop. And so therefore what you have is a bunch of adults with no regulatory equipment that literally ain't got the equipment upstairs. But you can tell there's no regulatory equipment because of how our community looks. People who cannot regulate well, people who cannot regulate in times of adversity well. And that's because that regulatory equipment was not developed at an early age. At age 8, my daughter, she was telling a teacher something about going to her grandma's house and having fun. And in her room, she has cable in her room, and she's got a microwave in her room and all this other stuff. So the teacher said, oh, you're spoiled. And my daughter said, no, I'm highly loved. There's a difference. And she was 8 years old. Like, really? That's regulatory equipment to me, because she could have been hurt. She could have been feeling down, shunned. She could have been upset from that comment or self-conscious. But for her to be able to say, oh, no, I'm highly loved. There's a difference. You know, that's power to me. And for young people to grow up and have that type of discernment, to be able to articulate it, is the type of people we want in this world to be able to run things well. So not hitting them and not yelling at them and talking to them will actually create the type of nurturing that they need and the type of communication they need to be clear on what their next step should be.
Well, that's powerful. I tell you, I read that book and so, like, wow, these are some very good strategies. Let's talk about how can we look at alternative ways to discipline our children. What are some alternatives instead of yelling? We're saying don't yell and we're saying don't hit, but what are some things that you do to get to teach our children their lessons when they step out of line?
Sure. Children only step out of line when we're out of line, and that's real. Because if we were communicating, just like I'm communicating with you all right now, if we were communicating with our children this way, it would just be conversations, just like we would have. If you and I have a disagreement, we don't have a conversation about it. I'm not going to punch you in your face. I'm not going to hit you with a belt, tell you go get a branch and let me hit you. I would seem irrational to you. You'd be like, what's wrong with her? Like, she's crazy. But for some reason, we seem to think that hitting them and getting a switch and getting a belt is a means of getting them to understand or learn lessons. You don't learn lessons that way. Some people say, well, I got to discipline my child. And I always say, go look up discipline. I want you to not only look it up, but I want you to go to the etymology of discipline. And that's where the root of the word is, where it comes from. It comes from the Latin root, disciplina. Disciplina means to teach, just like disciple. Disciple comes from the same root. So you teaching your child is one thing. If the end result is them fearing you or feeling sad or whatever, the lesson is not taught. Because you don't, when at the point where your body's experiencing pain, your analytical mind is not even functioning. You're only functioning from another mind, which is, they call it the animal mind, animal brain, or the reactive mind. So the analytical mind is not even operating once you beat a child. So for them to learn a lesson, they don't learn the lesson. They just are responding to not wanting to experience pain anymore, but they're not learning the lesson. It's why kids stay bad, quote unquote. They stay getting in trouble even when you beat them. That's because you're not solving the problem. You're creating the problem. You're making them more resentful. You're making them more angry. You're making them introverted. You're creating a person who doesn't, who is confused. It's confusing. People say, well, after I hit him, I do hug him and explain why I did it. That's psychotic. Come on now. You're going to hit somebody. That's like your man hitting you and punching you and then coming to you saying, but I do love you, baby. Come here, I love you. If you're in a domestic violence situation, somebody knocking you upside your head and bringing pain to you and then come and hug me, that's psychotic. That's confusing to children because the people that they feel should be nurturing to them and they're looking to for guidance are actually the people that's bringing them pain. So there's no trust in that. That's not where you'll find trust. You will find resentment, though. And people say when they get older, you know, well, I got beaten, I turned out fine. Fine is not acceptable, y'all. Fine is mediocre. It's average. But you never hear people say, I got beaten, I turned out excellent. They never say that because that's not what happened. We could have turned out better if those punches could have turned to power. That would be a totally different thing. And so we may have rationalized it growing up, but when we were experiencing the pain, we weren't feeling fine. We weren't feeling good at all. So I've likened turning out F-I-N-E to an acronym that stands for failing indefinitely, never emerging. Because that's, as a people, we're not emerging at the rate that we should with all the movements that have taken place so far, Garvey, Harriet, everybody. We should be much, much farther, but we are not because we beat our offspring. So they start off with disadvantages because the people that love them bring them pain before anybody else can.
Wow. So will you have panel discussions about that at the book fair?
At the book fair, I'm going to be so busy. I don't even know how I'm going to sell my book. If somebody on the phone will come sell my book for me, that would be fabulous. So that show ain't going to be able to do none of that. I'm going to be just going around working, you know. But so there won't be panel discussions about the topic of my book. My book will definitely be there because we have workshops, but we have other types of workshops that have to deal with writing and handling writer's block and dealing with composing spiritual music and developing dramatic play for our children. So there'll be workshops and stuff on that. But my personal book and its message, people kind of bring me to their environments to do those workshops. Like I just got asked by an organization in L.A. to fly me out next March to be a speaker at this particular conference on this. So it's one of those things where people tell me to come and I come. It could be a hospital, it could be a daycare, it could be whatever, and I'll just come and we rock out and handle the topic. I actually will be dealing with it here in Chicago with an organization. They have a camp for kids, but on a certain day of the week while the kids go to trips, I'll be working with their parents on parenting and we'll be using my book as a guide for their training. So things like that, those are the ways that I am able to deal with the topic and work with parents.
Wow. Well, you addressed at least a couple of areas that I'm really proud that you're addressing. One is how we parent, because my grandmother used to always say, if you want to see what's going on in somebody's house, just look at the fruit. It ain't in the fruit, it's in the root. And what she meant by that, so if she was here looking at what's going on with, you know, our community in terms of what our children are doing, she would say, it's not in them. It's because of what's happening in the home. Who is their parents? And so I love the fact that you address one of the things that I think is important is how we discipline our children. How can we stretch our mind to do things differently and open our mind to even just hear the conversation? And then literacy. I love books. I love the idea of what books can do for a child's life because it gives them the idea to also think globally, not just their block, not just their city, but to see the world in its own mind's eye through the pictures and the words that are coming off the book, which give them dreams and opportunities. I remember when my daughter said, Mom, I want to go to South Africa. Well, you know, you better believe she spent 17 days in South Africa doing a self-esteem project for the kids whose parents who had died from AIDS.
Awesome. And bringing their visions and their dreams to life. All of these things, even the power of this call and what this call talks about for those of us who are on here and are willing to use power beyond what we just see in our everyday walking around, but to really tap into the Creator and then look at the Creator within. Those are some very, very, very strong concepts that have to deal with creation. That's why they call him the Creator. And so if you want to be a reflection of the Creator, create. Ask yourself, what are you creating? What are you helping your child create? You know, I wrote something called the Parental Code of Ethics. And my favorite line in that sort of 12-point credo says, I will only seek excellence in my child if I am excellent myself. And so the teaching and the disciplining of your children does not come from your mouth talking like Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 don't nobody want to hear all that. It comes from them watching you and what you do. And that's just the bottom line. You know, my daughter has a book because what? Her mama got a book. I didn't tell her, you got to have a book because I got a book. But it's just a natural progression. Mommy, how do I get this in life? I want money. How do I get money? Well, whatever. You know, it's like they're going to emulate what we are, you know. And so this teaching and disciplining our children, and it really comes from creation. We just shot a commercial for a mom and a daughter the other day. Her daughter's in her 20s, and they wrote a book together called The Newbies. It's a alphabet book that teaches kids alphabets and scriptures. And so not only does the book teach them alphabets and scriptures, they teach them in English and in Spanish. And I'm like, what? And so this is a project they're doing together. In the book is pictures of babies. The pictures of the babies on the inside of the book are the children of the daughter. This is the game we're supposed to be playing. This is how you leave legacy. This is how you establish legacy. You choose projects you can build on together, like this one. They built a book together, and now they're putting it out, and now they're, you know. So it's my goal to get people to support that book. It's called The Newbies, and it's going to be at the book fair, and people are going to go, I want them to go stalk raving cuckoo birds, just saying, I need that for my child to learn English, to learn Spanish. And then think of how that then is going to affect her grandson, who's in the book. Not only is he in a book, but then he's going to look at his mom doing. What do you think he's going to end up doing? He's going to create something too. That's how you do it. You don't yell and tell him stuff. You just do what you want them to do, and they will emulate it. You want them to clean the house? Good. You clean the house. You know, you want them to read a book? Good. Let them see you reading a book. It's really just that simple. And after that, you really don't have discipline problems. Discipline problems in children come from them not being engaged with their parents. Parents that are engaged with their kids actually don't have those type of problems because they're really engaged. And engaged doesn't mean talking at. It means having conversations with and doing things with. And that's the big difference.
Yes. Well, well, well. So do they need tickets to get to the Soulful Book Fair?
I love that question because, you know, I have people emailing me from Minnesota and all kind of states talking about, we want to know, we can't find where to buy tickets on the website. How do I buy tickets to see Eric Robinson? Oh, because I didn't mention entertainment-wise, this is not just going to be books and authors, but we're dealing with people who just write well. So you got a brother, Eric Robinson. If you're not familiar with Eric Robinson, you need to Google him because he's a neo-soul artist who is a phenomenal songwriter, but he'll be performing at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. So I had somebody say, I can't find it. Where to buy the tickets to see Eric Robinson? And I was like, yeah, that's because it's free. Just bring on yourself down the block. You know, just come on through. So, yeah, it's a free event. Totally nothing. You won't have to do nothing but buy some food and purchase some books and have a good time, sit, dance, and all that good stuff. So, nope, there's no fee to get in. This is just a family fun event. And we made it so that, like, even people who submit their books, they have to get approved because we're not going to have any books that are vulgar, any books that are risque, any books that will be offensive. Somebody submitted a book the other day, and the cover was terrible. I mean, I won't say terrible. I'll just say it was too, it was like soft porn. I ain't got time for that, you know, in no book fair. And it was called, you know, Kinky Some. No. So we're not having any of those things at the book fair because we just, I don't need a child saying, Mommy, what's that? Or, nope, we're going to have titles and experiences that people can really learn from. And people can have the content be a certain way, but that cover and that title can't reflect anything foul. So people could just come in for free, walk through the fair, get involved in the activities, and have an excellent time.
Wow. Well, thank you for creating a free book fair so people can get the opportunity to be exposed not only to books but poetry, songwriters. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I hear you say, you know, about the griots, but I also believe that the griots are singers and are artists.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe this is the new way our story will be told through our music, through our poetry, through our books.
That's right. You got that right, because we have the main stage, which will have Eric Robeson. They'll have Maggie Brown, which is the daughter of Oscar Brown Jr. If you don't know who that is, you need to go Google that big time. Maggie Brown will be performing on Jazz Tip. David Boykin, he's a saxophonist who does songs. He has a whole series called the Hip Opera. And so this is like jazz infused with hip hop, dealing with topics of revolution. That's amazing. So he'll be performing. We have Kuumba Links, which is a group of young, like teenagers, who do poetry to choreography. So they'll be there. The sister named Jay Daphne, she's a vocalist here from Chicago who is outstanding. Her voice is, it resonates through your soul when she sings. So, you know, you're going to have all of these performers. Pegasus Theater Group. They're going to be doing theater, and they're going to be doing a rendition of the award-winning novel Middle Passage by Charles Johnson. Doing that, there's all of that writing, so that will be the main stage. And then we're going to have a smaller stage where people can go up and do poetry, like open mic, and go up and it's just, you know, come on, let's do it. Get on your soapbox. Let's hear it. Keep it clean. But people will be able to start to express themselves out loud, and it's all about us and our people. So this is going to be a place, a good place of celebration of, like you said, the literary arts and us creating. See, when you fill a community with creation, you counteract the violence, because the people, really, as a people, we're creative on the inside. You understand? There's a brother on the bus yesterday. He was playing loud, vulgar music. So I got up to approach him on the bus. I went to the back of the bus, and I tapped him. I wasn't going to say anything out loud because that's not what you do. I was going to talk to him, you know, say, yo, kid, you know, you think I want to hear about all that in the morning? Like, you know, just have a conversation with him and laugh. But when I touched his shoulder, he turned around and said, don't talk to me. No, he said, don't touch me. I'm not playing with you. Don't touch me. And I just sat down next to him, sat in the seat, said, all right, cool. And I just sat in his presence. He actually did turn the music down some. But the reason I'm telling the story is because every time somebody wanted to come to the back of the bus, I watched him move his body. If he was a person who did not have a spirit, a good spirit on the inside, he would not have moved when those people tried to get by. He would have just been an obstruction, not caring, not, you know. So that's what I see. I don't care about what he said to me about don't touch me. There might be a ton of different reasons for that. But on the inside, people have that thing that needs to be catered to. They have that thing that needs some avenues to let their creation out. And so this is really what this is to me. You put in the community a big old festival of creation, words, books. I think when our people see all them doggone writers, black writers, I think we're going to be overwhelmed with glee just seeing that, you know. But I think it'll also be an inspiration for us to say, well, I always wanted to write a book. I always wanted to do black, you know. And I think this event actually will have the largest collection of published black authors in the nation, because it's poets, black published poets, I should say, in the nation, because brothers and sisters get up and do poetry, but how many of them have actually sat down to put their poetry in books? And so we have quite a few in the festival. So all of this energy, like I said, creation, doing the things that, you know, people say, if you want to hide something from a black person, put it in a book. Well, I defy that myth, because I sure got enough, I got over, well over almost 200 black authors just in my database from this event. And black authors are flying in from D.C. to be a part, from New York, from Florida, from Texas. This is a what? This is a movement. So that's what we're going to do to counterbalance this negativity. We're going to just create so that we pull out their ability to create and make them feel comfortable, like somebody will actually listen to them and create. That's what the rap game is. It's just that they rap about whatever they rap about. We just have to handle that and find that inner person, help bring that out, and then they'll rap about that. That's the game.
All right. Biggie, Tupac, all the big name rappers in the house.
That's right.
Yes, don't start let me get my rap out, you know. You know, no, I'm just playing. Yes. That's how to give us the date again. For all our new callers, you tuned in to The Love Journey. I am Janine Ann Ingram, your transformational life coach. We have a beautiful soul called Asada Kirkland who bringing to Chicago July 16th, something you don't want to miss, that Soulful Book Fair. I'm telling you, this is going to be one of the most epic, powerful literacy transformation healing events in the community. And that's something we need, you know, speaking to healing our community. I think when we have opportunities to bring literacy, we get to bring more unity to the community because we get to learn about other cultures. We get to learn and embrace our own and have pride in it, but also not because we feel better or less, but embrace other cultures because we understand our own self. And I love the fact that you're bringing all the griots together, young and old. So thank you so much, Asada, for speaking to the literacy in our community.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me just share it with our people. I think it's important that we take control of the ways we want to express ourselves. We do not need the permission of the media. We don't even need to care what the media is putting out, because if the media puts out something negative, I don't care about that. We need to put out something positive, and we need to let it resonate stronger than what they're doing. Instead of complaining about what they're doing, stop expecting them to do things for us or to put out the positive words. Who cares what they do? They have a reason for what they do. We need to put it out the way we're putting it out. And just so you all know, the way that this event is even starting, there's going to be a procession in the beginning of this event at 10 a.m. It's called the Centennial Migration Procession. And this will be young drummers who lead a float, elders, from one avenue to the stage. And when we get those elders to the stage, we will get them up there and then ask their permission to begin the event. That's how we're going to begin, in honoring our elders and having them up on that float that we take down the street. So it's just a whole, I think we might have Gwendolyn Brooks and Lorraine Hansberry and them floating over the whole thing, just rocking out, you know, ancestral mold, making the weather fabulous, you know. So, yeah, this is what it's about. We have to do what we want and not what we don't want. Look at what we want and not what we don't want, and then just create it. Don't think about it. Just do it. And God got your back. He's just waiting for us. I think God looking at his watch like, Jesus, it's been 400 years. They still bugging out. Lord, you know, so I need us to go ahead and do this and stop thinking that other people have power. We have power, and we got to do what we got to do the way we do it.
Yes. Tell our stories our way. Yes, yes, yes. So, again, you said it's July 16th, and it starts at 10 a.m., and the address is 61st between Cottage and Stony?
Cottage and King, baby.
Cottage and King. All right. Mm-hmm. July 16th, which is a Saturday, is it just a one-day or a two-day?
It's one day for now. I said, we just getting started. Let me see how we roll out next week. Next time, it might have to be a week. I don't know. But, yeah, for this time, it's one day.
All right. You have your first annual Soulful Book Fair. And you know, it's interesting because I've been always every year go to the book fairs around Chicago, the Hyde Park Book Fair, Printer Road Book Fair, all the different book fairs. I never thought about the fact that they never had a Soulful Book Fair.
In our community where we live, why we got to go outside our community to find some books? What is that? What? Not with all these writers, it's overnight. Like I said, it's like 100 writers in Chicago alone with books, not just writing in their journals, but with books. You're one of them. So, you know, we sitting around with our books. Our people need us. It ain't about us. They need our words. They need our thoughts. They need our ideas. They need our guidance. And the books are the way that we can get them to the hands of the multitudes of people instead of our one little selves. Our books allow our messages to hit many people at one time. So that's what this is about, baby, taking it over, not listening to nobody talk about nothing else other than doing what we want to do at the magnitude that we want to do it.
Well, what's powerful about it is I'm sure that there's not many platforms where, you know, I know when we go to BEA, which is the Books Expo America, I did it the first year that I brought my book out. I went to the one in New York, and wow. But, you know, they have a little section, but this is a major, major event. But you don't see but a handful of African-American literary artists there. So
right.
I just want to say kudos for you putting together a book fair that gives our people a platform to bring their gifts out. Because this is a platform.
It's a platform. And let me just say this real quick before this even ends. I've had some people come to me and say, well, will you be featuring authors? Because I only do this because when I'm featured. Let me tell y'all something right now. This is everybody's on an equal, a level playing field with each other. This is not about hyping one person over another. Goal is to give star quality to every author involved. We have to start doing that. We don't put people on pedestals and make it like you're the celebrity. That comes from a different culture. But in this particular event, it is about pumping up our authors across the board. I want y'all to go to our YouTube channel, that's Soulful Chicago Book Fair at YouTube. You will see the commercials of the different authors that are involved in this book fair. We shoot commercials for every author. We're not playing no games. And we take that and we circulate those commercials in all our emails, in our social media circles. This is about the collective. This is about us being author comrades that take care of each other. We're coming together June 25th here in Chicago at like 5:30 to go over what we need to do to make this event really reflect all of us. And so this is not about features. I love my features, you know, my big authors that we always see at book fairs, but it's not about that. This is not about a one person. I need to get everybody fame. I need to get everybody on and known now, and that's what this book fair is about. It's about everybody working together to make each other big.
All right. Collective. I like that idea. And it also got me thinking about why do we even have to feel a need to compete? You know, we all in our lane. You don't can't compete for who you are. And so I always think about the fact that what is yours, you can get if you just believe it and not concern yourself with everybody else and what they're doing. I love that because it is about the collective. Collective. And so thank you for that process, for reminding us about the, you know, we don't have to compete. Not at all.
Not at all. And we're not going to compete. See, we can complain as a people, but my thing is instead of complaining, give examples on how we do it. I think a lot of times we don't do things because we just don't know how to do it. And so this is showing how you do it. This is one way it can be done. This is my contribution to Black folks working together in their own accord, you know, and helping each other get to another level. So set the example. Stop talking. Stop talking. Walk the walk. That's how I feel about it. Walk the doggone walk. Then everything be good.
All right. Well, I expect to see this Soulful Book Fair be big like the Essence Fairs and all the different events of that nature. Someone asked, would you be taking it global?
Ooh, I love that question because I was talking to a brother from South Africa on Facebook, and when he got wind of the book fair, he was like, you need to come out here. And so I was like, oh, you trying to get me to create the Soulful Soweto Book Fair? Ooh, baby, that sounds just too good to me. I said, well, do y'all have a lot of authors out there? And he was like, we have hundreds of authors here in South Africa. I was like, oh, my gosh, don't get me started. So don't get it twisted. You might see the Soulful Soweto Book Fair coming up in a minute. Let me get this one under wraps, and then we'll work on the other one.
All right. We're going to just call it into form, the Soulful Book Fair Tour, coming again in your neighborhood.
Call it.
I think of the Black Circus, the Universal Soul Circus, and I remember they were just in a few little states, baby. Now they are wanted and demand in almost all the states. So look at the Universal Soul Circus.
That's
right. Our people have needs. If you can't go to not one city and there's not a Chinatown. You can't go to a city and not find a Chinatown, a major city. And that's because they make sure that they have their needs met in wherever they go, food, clothing, this, that, and the other. That's what we have to do. You know, we have to provide ourselves with our own needs, not look for our needs from other people, provide ourselves with our own needs. And that's what this is a reflection of. Take care of yourself. We can save ourselves. We don't need people to save us. We can save our doggone selves and big each other up. And like you said, don't compete. So a lot of that comes from a slave experience and things that we went through, but we're going to clean all that up, and we're going to act like we want to act towards each other and get our ethics together and operate at a higher level. That's what this is going to demonstrate. So I'm ready for the task.
All right. Well, let's speak to one more thing. I just want to say to you, I am looking forward to your global experience because I know you will make it. You told me when you first initially started the social book fair that you were also bringing a lady whose grandmother or great-grandmother was Madam C.J. Walker. Will you be speaking to that? Will she still be a part of the book fair?
You know, that I'm not too sure because people make different decisions about what they're going to do, but I will say this. I talked about earlier the sister who was doing the book on her father, who's the oldest living alumnus for the NFL here. But there's another sister who did a book called With These Hands, A Country Girl Came to Town. And it's the book of her grandmother. Her grandmother was, I don't know that she was the first, but she came here and opened up several weave shops here on the south side of Chicago in Detroit. Has the pictures of the early, like in the 40s, and came to Chicago and boomed and expanded and taught each generation how to do this hair technique. Amazing story. You got to really see this book. And
is her name Annie Turnbow? Annie Minerva Turnbow?
No, her name is Bonnie Taylor Williams. Bonnie Taylor Williams, and her book is called With These Hands, A Country Girl Came to Town. So she's honoring her grandmother
I'm talking about her grandmother. What's her grandmother's name?
Oh, I have to double check her grandmother's name. I know that one of the shops is over on 83rd, right off of King Drive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, amazing stories. I mean, so, you know, when you go to the website, you'll see her commercial on the website and on YouTube. You'll see the commercials of all of them, but you'll see her commercial and her book. And there are quite a few people that wrote books about their grandparents and the legacies that they're carrying on through their parents. Even Maggie Brown, who will be performing, she'll also be presenting her father, Oscar Brown Jr.'s book. People say, we didn't even know he had a book. She has a book by her father and a book by her grandfather. So you're talking about the rap game. These brothers really, Oscar Brown Jr., what? That's the rap game personified in the beginning. Like, it came from that. So, yeah, this is how we do it. This is how we, this, like I said, the gathering of the griots. Let's bring it on out. Let's continue the storytelling. Let's get it out to our people. I did want to put this out there because this is a very big endeavor. I'm not starting small because I don't start small. When you all go onto the website and check it out, there's something called 2020 Vision Campaign. And the 2020 Vision Campaign allows for you to contribute to this venture. What does that mean? I'll be like, you got 2020 Vision? That just means give $20. Boom. Here, $20. That's all we're telling people. You got $20? You can donate it just so we can help make this the biggest event that we can. And so 2020 Vision, become a 2020 visionary. As soon as a person gives $20, we put their picture up on our website. And so we have a whole page on our website that says 2020 Visionaries. And you'll see all the black people around the country who have donated $20 or more. And it's wonderful. So I just want to put that out there because we need y'all's support in that regard as well. So, yes, let's do it together. Let's make it happen.
Wow. So they can go where to push the 2020 Vision or learn more about the 2020 Vision?
Yeah, just go to the website. And when you go
to the website,
it's SoulfulChicagoBookFair.com, SoulfulChicagoBookFair.com, and then you go to the button that says donate. Once you click donate, the whole thing will come up, and you'll see you'll see glasses that have the Soulful Chicago logo in the panes, and that's the 2020 Vision where you can donate. We also have sponsorship levels on that page. for big willies. There might be some big willies on the phone. We got the Earl Father Hines level, that's $500. We got the Richard Wright level, that might be $2,500. We got the Gwendolyn Brooks level, that might be $15,000. So if you're a big willie and you want to be a sponsor, go right ahead. Because then what we do is we take your logo and your endeavor and we put it on all of our promotional items, our banners and all of that as well. So we're promoting everything we do. That's good. So, yep, they just go to SoulfulChicagoBookFair.com and click on Donate, and they'll see the 2020 Vision button.
And will you have any events coming up before July 16th? I know Tuesday, the day I'm here in Washington, D.C., I wasn't able to come, but I understand you had an event. Will you have another event similar or something happening before July 16th, or that's it on your calendar right now?
No, you're so smart. You're so smart. I need to hire you all day. Just remind me what to say in life. So there's a brother by the name of Theaster Gates here in Chicago. If you don't know him, you need to Google him. So
need
he
to
has
know,
established.
Babe.
Yeah, baby, you need to know some Theaster Gates. So Theaster Gates has established several institutions on the south side of Chicago in our community, one of which is a black cinema house. Another one, he bought a humongous bank, and he made it sort of a place where the Johnson Library is held. That's the Ebony and Jet. He has all of the archives of the Johnson Library there. So they do an event every, they do it once a month. It's called Reading the Black Library, where somebody from the community comes in, reads a little bit from the library, and then there's a discussion. Well, when they got wind of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, they made every Tuesday of the month of June Reading the Black Library. And so every Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, Reading the Black Library has an author from the book fair read something from the library and then read something from their own book that relates. And I was last Tuesday. These have been wonderful events, and they're hours from 6 to 7. But the goal is to get our people to see that we have a bevy of knowledge sitting in this building, this library, that we need to know and use. And so every Tuesday night, so next Tuesday, there's a sister who's going to read her book. That's called, her name is Barbara Robinson. She has a book called Hope Always from Every End, and she's a poet. She's going to read her poetry, but she's also going to read the poetry of Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix has a poetry book, and so she'll be comparing the two. So that's going to be the bomb. And like, what? Where'd this come from? So that'll be this
Tuesday. Excuse me while I touch the sky. Jimi Hendrix. I love that.
Right.
That's
you.
One of my favorite lines from one of his songs, Excuse Me While I Touch the Sky.
Ah, I know that's right. So you're going to hear some more of his actual poetry. Like, his poetry book sits in that library. And when you see it, it's autographed, and you can't go in that library with no liquids, no nothing. That stuff is sacred, and it is well taken care of. And so Theaster Gates made a decision to make sure that he created that reality for our literature to be preserved in that way. So definitely Tuesday coming, and then Tuesday thereafter, we'll be featuring authors of the book fair and combining efforts with Theaster Gates Rebuild Foundation at the Stony Island Arts Bank. So you can check
and if
that
you don't
out.
Know the address of the Stony Island Arts Center, do you have that? Is it 6700 South Stony Island?
Yeah, it's the exact address. I know it's on the corner of 68th and Stony Island. It's a big white bank on the corner of 68th and Stony Island. And you might walk by and say, this looks closed because it doesn't have an awning, a sign, or nothing. But, boy, when you open that little black door to that big white building, ooh, baby, it's a bevy of dynamic everything in it. They even have the archives and the library of Frankie Knuckles House DJ. In
house
it. I mean,
music.
Yeah, honey, they got that in there. So definitely on our 68th and Stony Island, Tuesday night at 6 p.m., and be a part of Reading the Black Library with us authors of the book fair.
And just so you know, he's also redoing a famous another building right there on 79th and Stony Island. I'm really excited about bringing the culture of music back into our community, because when I was a little girl, you know, I remember listening to the stories of the Savoy, the High Chaparral, and different, where Michael Jackson and Diana Ross and the Temptations and B.B. King and Lou Rawls and all kind of people used to come in. And I hear my mom and them used to talk about going to those events. So for him to reach that back in our community is nostalgic in its own right as well.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to be doing, y'all, July 16th, 2016, Soulful Chicago Book Fair. Be here. Be a part of history. This is actually going to be a big part of history because there's nothing like this, I don't think, in the nation. We have a lot of love for our writers, and we show it. We actually, you will hear people say over and over, I love hearing this. Every author says, I'm excited. Everybody who hears about this says, I'm excited. So when you have that collective excitement in the souls of our people, watch out for what that event brings, because it's going to be something heartwarming and just very emotional in a very powerful way.
All right. Again, you can go to the website, do your book submissions, do your donations, and just check out. Even if you're not here in Chicago, you might just want to navigate the process to see if you know somebody in Chicago you want to refer, or somebody who might want to fly into Chicago, or somebody who might want to even submit their books. I don't know if she's still taking them for this year, but I'm sure she's going to be taking them soon for next year. So you definitely want to take an opportunity to go to the website, check out what she's doing, and if you get a chance, open your pocket and donate. You know, that's one of the things that we have to learn to do in our community. It's not just support with our physical and words, but our money is important to move the perpetuation of the ideas out. So don't forget, if you decide that you want to go, and make sure you give us a donation. Nothing's too large and nothing's too small.
Yep. Thank you for that. We need it, and I love you for putting that out there, because we can do this. Going into the next millennium, we can take charge, and we have to take charge, and don't be afraid, and don't have these inhibitions. Go ahead and create the things that we want to see, and then continue to support each other. So I thank you for putting this out there. Thank you, audience, for listening in and connecting. I look forward to your spirits. I remember last time I was on this show, and I came to your sunrise meditation. Boy, people said, I heard you on that call. So I'm thoroughly grateful to this call for just allowing me to share what I am and what I have with this community of the Love Journey. And I was introduced to you by Manetti. So I don't know if she's listening, but ooh, I love you, girl, for introducing me to Denise. And Denise, girl, you know how much I love you. It don't make no sense.
I am listening, and I want to say I love you, and I am committing to donating $100 to this wonderful event, and I will challenge and encourage at least 10 people to donate $100. This is phenomenal. This is a phenomenal event. These are our babies. We have got to improve the literacy of our families, our babies. So, yep, I'm committing $100 to you, my sister, Soulful Chicago Book Fair, July 16th. Okay, 10 people. I need 10 people to match me. Come on now.
I love you. Y'all going to make me cry on this phone this morning. Jesus.
Yes, yes. July 16th. You don't want to miss the opportunity to be here in Chicago from 10 on.
Great to hear your beautiful goddess leadership, Asada. You are doing a fabulous job. You're actually showing us that the community still thrives. This is Amir, Asada.
You know I knew that. You know I knew that from that voice, sounding like you on the Quiet Storm or something like that.
Quiet Storm.
Here in Palm Beach County this morning, it is a beautiful quiet storm. And I thank you for showing us that the experience that you had with that God on the bus, you went to his God with your goddess and showed him that there's a better way. You didn't go with him with the terrorism of your wanting to show him a better. You showed him through the powerful of your love. And that, what we had to get back into, we can't say, well, I can't say nothing to that. That's not my child. But that was 100 children that got injured or killed. That was somebody's child. But because we decided to turn our head, it's not mine, it is mine. I don't care what color it is. It's breathing in my community. It's mine. And I treat every child in my neighborhood. Matter of fact, the bus stop for school in the morning at 6:45, I hear those children every morning. One morning I decided to sit out there and just listen. And would you believe that day the vocabulary changed just with my presence? And there were other parents there, but it was just being a part of their lives to let them know that at 6:45 in the morning, somebody else cares about me was important. And who knows what else that could have prevented or prepared them for that day, just knowing that someone was there meditating with them as they bring that energy of theirs into a focus to get them into another frame of mind for the day. So I made the practice for this past month, the last month of school, that it was just beautiful to see it happen. Of course, sunrise helped it even more because it wasn't no longer dark. But thank God for daylight savings time. But you showed the way, Asada, on how to be family again with talking to our family, talking to our children, talking to our parents. You've done it, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brother Lee. Thank you.
All right. I know we want to respect your time. I know you got to get out of there to do some things you said you got to do. So we want to give you your respect. You want to give them the website and how to do all that stuff one more time, and then we're going to let you go. Thank you so much, Asada Kirkland.
Thank you all. Thank you so much.
And I also want to recommend, not only do you donate for her Soulful Book Fair, you got to get the book. It is a powerful book. Asada, let them know how to contact you.
Sure, lovely people. To get the book itself, to help you work with our families and really confront this issue of using violence towards them, our children, just go to beatingblackkids.com. That's beatingblackkids.com. And for the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, just go to Soulful, that's S-O-U-L-F-U-L, Chicago Book Fair, F-A-I-R.com, and submit your work. June 23rd is the last day to do everything, to put in the applications or pay for your booths. June 23rd is the last day. And so, go to the website and become a part. Put that date on your calendar. If you're out of town, we have a specialist that will help you find hotels and all of that. So contact us on Facebook. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn. So all find us wherever, however you can, and we will help you find a way to get to us. But, yeah, we want to really fill those streets up with good souls. So that's SoulfulChicagoBookFair.com and BeatingBlackKids.com. We'll service you there.
All right. Thank you so much, Asada Kirkland. You've been tuned in listening to Asada Kirkland, Beating Black Kids author. She's a phenomenal activist for the community. She's also the visionary behind this new epic, riveting, historical event that's happening July 16th right here in Chicago, called the Soulful Book Fair, and you don't want to miss it. It's going to be between 61st Street, between Cottage and King Drive, starting at 10 o'clock. And it's not just about the books. We also have poetry. We got music. We got spoken word artists from all around the world coming to be right here in Chicago, authors from all around the world, and we got some major talent. So you don't want to miss this opportunity to come together and hear our stories our way right here in Chicago, 10 o'clock, July 16th. All right, Asada, thank you. Any last things you want us to know, say, or leave us with?
I just want to say I love y'all. That's all. I got to take my daughter to the school bus. That's all. And I love y'all, and I look forward to finding you online and connect with me on Facebook, and let's do this the way we want to do this.
All right. I promise we get you out on time. We did. See, you have a great, phenomenal, amazing, wonderful, love-filled day. Give my love to your baby. Our up-and-coming, she is also an author, and she's also a screenwriter. She got her little YouTube series that is amazing. So maybe we need to have her on and interview her daughter next time. If she's
That's
up to it.
That's true, too. That's true, too. We'll see what she's willing to do, because she's supposed to be on the radio next Monday. But she has a webisode coming out for her book, y'all. That'll be out soon. Her website is urbangirladventures
urbangirladventures.com, and that's with an S, urbangirladventures.com. That's my daughter's book. She's 12 years old. And, yeah, she's rocking and rolling, and we're working to sell her books to young folks as well. It's for, like, reading levels, kindergarten to first grade reading levels, about how to travel in the city.
Yes, yes. And she has a webinar coming up, web series. I love it. Urban Girl Adventures. Yes, our stories told our way. What a wonderful production and a major accomplishment for 12. And you're doing it. You rock, Asada.
Thank you. I can't rock without you. Love you.
Have a great day.
Okay, peace. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Jack, you ready to take us on out? Jack, you on this morning? All right. I don't think Jack's on this morning. All right, where we going? Can anybody lead us in it? Because my daughter said I'm too loud in their apartment in the morning.
Heard that before. Good God. Lord.
Lead us in it. It's the Reverend Ike right on his Facebook page. Good morning, Rosa J.
Good morning. On what Facebook page, girl? I need to go to the Facebook page to Love Dream Inc. and read. You don't. Yes, ma'am. I am getting there. Love Journey Inc.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go to our Love Journey page and don't forget to like us. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Yes, 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 and get those good quotes. Yes, yes, yes. You ready?
Yes. Oh, no, yes, wait a minute. Just give me a minute, please. Just a minute, please. We're doing the Reverend Ike, who I love.
It's
Love Journey, Inc.
So just a reminder.
I'm saying I got it. If
you can go ahead and lead it. Go ahead, let's do it.
Yes. Hey, Reverend Ike's affirmation. Money, I'm calling you into my life.
I'm calling you into my life. I know you hear me.
I know you hear me. Right here and right now, I'm telling you, money, you
right
love me.
And right now, money, I'm telling
money.
You love me.
You are welcome in my hands, in my pockets, and in my life all the time.
You are welcome in my hands, in my pocket, in my bank,
in my pockets, and in my life
all the time.
I open my heart and my mind to money in all forms.
I open my mind
open
and
my
heart
and my mind to money in all
forms.
Hey, we got some banknotes, certificates of deposit, stocks and bonds.
I have some
bank
notes, certificates of deposit,
stocks
and bonds, and cash, cash, cash.
Hey, I open my life to money through my loving, appreciating attitude.
I'm opening my
life to money through my loving,
appreciating attitude.
Money serves me divine right ways.
Money
is wonderful stuff.
Money is wonderful, amazing stuff.
And I let it multiply in my life.
And I let it multiply in my life.
Thank you, God, in me for money.
Thank you, God, in me for money.
Money. You all. Let's get that money today.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's get that money today. Wow, that was beautiful. I love me some Reverend Knight. Thank you for leading us, Claudette. Thank you, Rosa, for trying to look for it and get it, girl. So I'll be home tomorrow so I can be loud and proud with it because my kids are like, Ma, you are too loud in this apartment on these 2 days.
Every time I go to her house, Mommy, do you have to?
So thank you, thank you, thank you, Glenda. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Rosa. I thank you all. I thank you with all of my heart. Just so you know, Joanne Marquardt is touching down in Chicago. They'll be having their powerful healing transformative event right here, 4700 South, 4900 South Lakeshore Drive at the La Quinta Inn, the Lakeshore Cafe. Yes, yes, you don't want to miss it. Make sure you go to Healing Chicago, Healing Accelerated Chicago right now. Get your tickets, $15. At the door, $25. Don't forget to get your tickets. Don't delay. Get your tickets today, right now, and get your healing on. Invite your friends, too. It is going to be so powerful to be in the presence of Joa and Makwa. Yes, yes. I'm looking forward to meeting them in person tomorrow. I also want to thank Rosa and Z and Bonnie and Arlene and Key and Daniel and Miss LaRue. Yay! And while Naja came out and we all had dinner together yesterday and it was such an amazing night. Thank you, Dr. Baruch, for putting together an amazing restaurant. The food was off the chain. Thank you so much, y'all. I really enjoyed it from the bottom of my heart. I did. All right. I want to remind you all that your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is a gift back. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And don't forget, not just dream your God-sized dreams, but live them. You don't want to do this lifetime without living them dreams, I tell you. Wow. Don't forget the Soulful Book Fair. That was Asada Kirkland. Check out our website. You don't want to miss it. It is amazing. This affair is going to be amazing. All right. Whew. Let's see. What should we go out on? Should we go out on Keep On Again, y'all? I'm telling you, God is amazing. So we're going to do Keep Your Head to the Sky, family. Don't forget, it's all about love. Have a great day. Wow. Keep your head to the sky. You've been tuned in to The Love Journey. I am Janine Ingram, your transformational life coach. I see you in the morning on Millionaire My Conversation Cafe. All right. Go GSW. Go to State Warriors. All right, you all. Have a great day. See you in the morning. Mm-hmm.